Senate and House Committee on Transportation to order. I'd like to call the committee to order. And for all the audience and members, do not reset your watches. The clocks are right, and we're operating on Senate time now.
All right, Bernie.
Today, we're going to hear about the report from the Transportation Strategic Management and Operations Advisory Task Force, which was set up in the last session with the transportation bill, I believe, Senator Murphy. And before we start, for the presenters, Senator Saltzman and Representative Portman would like to have some comments. And
thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Okay. I had the honor of serving on this committee with Senator Day and Representative Hornstein and Ortman, and I just wanted to share my experience. I think we met five times, and what I was so impressed with this group is that there were so many people who came from private industry, from academia, also from our labor sector, and really came together, and MnDOT did an incredible job of really presenting operations to us. They presented excellent in a very short amount of time for us to understand the process that MnDOT uses. But again, I just want to emphasize that during this meeting, there were times where people came forward from the private sector and shared with us ideas of looking at how we run government and suggested things we might want to consider. And so I hope that in hearing the comments today that we will remember that this is sort of maybe pushing us to look at things a little different. There are some recommendations. I know that as legislators, we also push the committee to express to them, we're in session now. Having this report come forward in April wouldn't serve us well. And we push them to come forward with some ideas that we could consider in this session. The bottom line for this committee was we have made large investments, significant investments in our transportation infrastructure, and it's important, especially from our business community who supported us on this, that every penny of that be used efficiently. And I think that's what was the intent of this group. Along the way, sometimes we wandered into, well, if we had additional resources and we brought them back and said, but this is about the resources that we have. So to Charlie, I want to thank you so much for the work you did in really bringing us together. Excellent in terms of our facilitator. And that was very important as well. So thank you to all the people who volunteered on this committee. You did very good, important service to the state.
Thank you, Senator Saltzman. Representative Hornstein, or Hortman, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to echo what Senator Saltzman has said, but especially to point out that the Minnesota Department of Transportation was very open to this process and an important collaborator and partner in this. And I really appreciate the support that we got from the agency and participating in the discussions with us. Commissioner Sorrell greeted the group at the outset. We had excellent participation all along the way, and leadership from Bernie Arsenault and MnDOT administrative staff helping to make sure this process worked. So this isn't a situation where there was any hostility or sort of an outside looking in. It was a collaborative, cooperative process, and I think that made the work product better. And I really wanted to commend MnDOT for the spirit that they came to the table at this task force with. And I think that you'll see in the work product that some of their excellent suggestions are incorporated.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. Excuse me, I can't see you quite. The presenters at the table, I may have your name, but would you identify yourself in case we don't have the right individuals here?
Sure. I'm Adam Dunick on behalf of the Operating Engineers Local 49 and one of the co-chairs of the task force.
And I'm Clay Parker, and I was on the task force representing the business community.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity here to present some of the findings of the committee. We'll start first by talking about the makeup of the committee and kind of a background. Some of the meetings and the methodology behind kind of how we move forward and cover the focused areas, the four focused areas that are covered in the report, and then Clay, I think, will move to talk about the recommendations. The Strategic Management Operations Advisory Task Force is made up of, as was mentioned here by the legislators, a wide variety of folks from MnDOT, the Met Council, the private industry, the construction industry, four members of the legislature, and a few representatives from organized labor. And also, as has just been pointed out, we had some great staff support. Charlie Peterson from Minnesota Project Analysis and Development kept the group focused, kept us moving forward, and did a great job. We would have never completed this thing in such a short time period without his support, as well as Ginny Croson from MnDOT and Jim Rhodes from the Department of Administration. So the strategic task force was set up through Chapter 152 to look at how we can get more efficiency out of MnDOT, how we can get projects delivered in a quicker manner, taking a look at business ideas and any ideas from the academic realm and so forth to apply some of these things to what MnDOT's already doing, take a look at some innovative ways to deliver projects. We met four times from October till December, first to establish our goals and decide how we're going to get there. We decided that our first meeting we would have MnDOT come in and talk about everything that they do from start to finish, from beginning the project scoping and development all the way to landscaping and finishing up a project, and then looking back and deciding what went well, what didn't go well, kind of evaluations. So some of the main areas of focus: area one, planning and policymaking perspective, validating statewide interests and MnDOT regional structure and allocation process. This topic came up nearly every time we met, talking about should we continue as MnDOT has always done with the district offices, all with their own plans, with their own programs and so forth, or should we look at possibly centralizing that more for projects that are interregional or statewide projects? Do certain projects get put off because they don't, because they meet a criteria of one region but not another, and that sort of thing? One thing I want to clarify about this area of focus was that the group never put forward a definitive position. We always just had different discussions about the idea and thought, you know, this would be best discussed by MnDOT, by the commissioner, by the legislature. We don't necessarily make a specific recommendation, but that this should be explored as an area to possibly look at increasing efficiency. Area two, practice and implementation perspective, establishing use of best practice for business operations. There's an extensive discussion regarding leveraging and extending the lessons learned from 5 years of using design build. Could best practices from design build concept be incorporated into other projects that MnDOT does? Areas for lessons learned and improvement. How could MnDOT take advantage of industry knowledge, expertise, and different management skills? Could there be a potential for accelerating project delivery and minimizing project cost growth? Opportunities for different types of innovation and procurement. And we looked at areas broader than just design build. The task force members noted that the identification and use of best practices throughout MnDOT would help ensure that there's a best return on investment in everything that they do. Area number three, looked at develop and using data-driven decision-making process. Now, whether there is a lacking of culture of evidence in MnDOT decision-making, whether it was engineering decision-making, cost-based evaluations, total cost versus construction costs, we focused on those areas. A degree of financial accountability, and we saw a really impressive presentation from MnDOT that they are starting to make good strides in this area. Strengthening leadership and program management and development, reviewed MnDOT's progress on its scoping and cost estimating task force, recently established an office of project scoping and cost management. Again, there are a number of areas that MnDOT in the last, I think, a couple years have been really focusing on these areas. These were seen as positive steps in addressing known gaps and total project cost estimating, uncertainty risk and contingency planning, project cost management, and program management. Area four, foundational areas to ensure change. There are a number of foundational areas discussed as being critical to the longer-term effectiveness of MnDOT and its success in implementing other improvements, including human resource planning and adherence to a plan, leadership-sponsored change management, and other areas that were not necessarily areas of focus but were continually brought up in discussion. We're looking at things such as right-of-way, municipal consent, and utilities just because of the high cost and unpredictability of the risk for the department, and also just working with MPOs, metro planning organizations.
So Adam's kind of outlined really the process we went through to formulate a path forward for the task force. We, as he said, kind of had a diverse group of I think some great people, as was outlined, I think starting out with Senator Saltzman. And I would certainly echo that as well. But what we did need to do is go back, because it was such a diverse group, and have a little bit of a MnDOT 101 process to get everybody on the same page. And that was, I think, a very fruitful time spent. And out of that discussion, I think, came and emerged some good debate and discussion about what MnDOT could possibly do to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the money and funds and resources it has available to it. What I would like to do is just put a caveat on my discussion, because I don't know, depending on the questions and answers and what may come out, is oftentimes, you know, as a group, and particularly where you have a bunch of business people in a room, we kind of jump to, you know, where we can improve things. Well, what's the nature of that discussion? It tends to be highly critical. What I wouldn't want you to do is walk away with a view that where we've pointed out gaps, where we've pointed out areas of improvement, and particularly where MnDOT, in its openness, quite frankly, shared areas that perhaps were embarrassing in terms of, or they weren't proud of a particular area. Well, what that doesn't do is paint an accurate picture of the task force view of what kind of job MnDOT was doing. We don't spend as much time talking about what was done well in the report, or probably even in this setting, as the time we spend on the gaps and areas of improvement. I think that's just the nature of this task force and the mission that we had. So I do want to put a caveat on the discussion. I think that to a person, I think that in the task force, the general impression of the engagement of MnDOT in this task force, their openness was very positive, and there's a lot of good things going on within MnDOT. But to get to the recommendations, I think the first one that Adam talked about, I think Charlie Peterson, who kind of shepherded us and kept us on task, kind of commented several times that when this topic came up, you know, the energy level in the room just raised. And this was around the topic of centralization and decentralization. It's not one that really, I think, was the first issue that came up in the discussion. Perhaps a little bit around the allocation process of funds started there, but we kept coming back to it. And I think the reason we kept coming back to it is as MnDOT personnel went through their process of educating us, they were very open, and they would highlight areas that they themselves thought were inefficiencies or areas of improvement. And I think what, in my mind, the reason it came up is many times you in your mind could make a link or at least raise a question in your head as to, is structure, whether it's allocation and funding structure or whether it's the underlying organizational structure, a contributor towards that inefficiency? And so it came back time and time again to where in the end it became perhaps the most discussed topic we had as a group. But I think that the task force, where Adam pointed out, we don't suggest that MnDOT go and centralize everything it does. I don't think the task force members felt it knew enough, had the right composition in the task force, or had the confidence that that was the right answer. I guess from a business perspective, and this is a little bit more from my perspective, some of it when I looked at funding and I looked at the interaction between funding and the organizational structure itself, there seemed to be a linkage in many times as to what, for instance, in the funding process that clearly had evolved into an equilibrium of stakeholder interests that had established a certain funding allocation process, and that process was driven decentralized and aggregated in a central function. But when we got into examples of structure, from a business perspective, I looked at it and said, well, business, if you look over the last 20 years, there have been tremendous technological change in automation, and the knock-on effect of the flattening of business organizational structures and highly performing organizations that had adapted to both their environment and the change in productivity and technology. What we hadn't, at least I hadn't picked up, was that same degree of evolution within MnDOT. Doesn't mean that it was inevitable that it should have changed. It was just a question that got raised. I think that feeds, on page 2 of the formal report, you'd see a list of detailed recommendations about the process of going about setting up a work group, the timeline, the bullet points of focus that we felt were important to be looked at. And I think many of the members regretted that a recommendation centered around another task force, a work group. But nevertheless, we felt like there was a open, progressive view within MnDOT that needed to go and with the legislature explore the questions of, is this the right structure, whether it's funding allocation structure or whether it's the underlying organizational structure that would take us forward for the next, say, 20 years, that same structure that served us well for the last 20 years. So that was really, I think, the task force summed it up into, it was a hot area of debate, but I think quite a consensus view that it was an area of, the group rated it as potentially the highest area of potential impact in terms of driving efficiency and effectiveness of MnDOT in terms of improvement. Moving on to the next area that Adam talked about was another area that emerged in the final discussions, trying to pull together, I think, some various themes of smaller issues. I think what we saw was a pattern where there seemed to be lacking a formal continuous improvement process within MnDOT that tied various initiatives together. I know that in the past years, and it sounded like it was in a time frame where things such as Six Sigma or TQM or other continuous improvement processes were in vogue, that MnDOT had been some past efforts of trying to implement some type of program. Certainly from a business perspective, I think most high-performing businesses have managed to, in a more mature, less of a hyped way, instill continuous improvement and embed that in the way that, from a bottom-up perspective, they drive continuous improvement and that innate thirst for improvement across an organization. Not an easy thing to do, and not a quick fix. But what when we were talking about other programs, I think we kept coming back to cultural change and resistance to cultural change and examples of where improvements in the same areas we had identified had been previously identified. Programs had been put in place to close those gaps And for whatever reason, those efforts had been derailed. Also, we saw pockets of improvement. One area that we'll highlight a little bit later is in the area, for instance, a project called FIGS that and this was an accounting improvement project that MnDOT had kicked off and I think spent a fair amount of time on. But it was clear that there were cultural differences within the organization that made it difficult for such an improvement project to get legs, to go through the implementation phase and get embedded in an organization. So you'll see here that we had a number of recommendations around the theme of continuous improvement of within MnDOT, exploring how do you define the appropriate type or process for continuous improvement within MnDOT. I don't think anybody, certainly across the task force, was trying to promote any particular flavor, whether it's Six Sigma or Lean or any of the other. I don't think that was our point. Our point was developing a systematic process that the whole of the organization could embrace. There were certainly organizations that volunteered to help support that scoping and of the appropriate process and to give suggestions. I think much of where you'll see this linked to was what we saw was the need for greater attention and adherence to cost accounting within the organization. I think the minute that cost came into the equation, the natural appetite within the organization to drive detail, to drive metrics, to drive data-driven decision making, fell dramatically compared with what I would say is engineering type decision making. So things that were around measuring something, or what we saw was that were tremendous metrics around engineering type decision making. But I think the systems that were in place, the processes where it involved cost, the complexity of that was such that it was hard for the average person to get hold of that. There were also cultural, priorities that had been established within MnDOT that steered that as well. I think that one person had said that flexibility within MnDOT in the people, the stakeholders it serves, is much more of a driver than discipline and cost data. And so that's something that you should keep in mind as you think about the questions you ask and the stakeholder, the pressure you put on MnDOT. Moving on, in terms of best practices, we heard a lot about different operational areas within MnDOT, perhaps one that got a lot of discussion about everything that went good and even things that were needing improvement was around different contracting styles, including design build process. I think what in my mind certainly emerged was just how much progress MnDOT in the last 5+ years has made in building up a skill set and repertoire and experience around design build. And understanding where that made sense and where it didn't make sense within MnDOT. I think the gap perhaps links back to this area of financial information and that the ability to understand total cost of on an apples-to-apples basis of different contracting styles was certainly a barrier. But from here, what we saw was, spotty application of really reaching for best practice. Great examples in some areas, and in other areas we'd uncover where there didn't seem to be that consistent drive to get it over the hill, if you will, in terms of driving best practice. And that's, you can see a big link that in that example back to where we came to with the primary recommendation around continuous improvement. There were a number of recommendations that we outlined in terms of being able to use pilot programs to test out different whether it's purchasing or contracting methods. But I think just to make the point there was where we saw innovation being introduced within MnDOT, I think that it had spurred further innovation, and some really good people are there that I think can extend that experience. If we move on to a number of other ideas for consideration, you know, provide financial accountability. I think that was an area. That got a lot of attention. The previously mentioned FIGS project, I think there we saw examples where different districts had different ways of applying the accounting rules, so therefore a project done in one district didn't show the same project cost as that same project if it were done in a different district. I think those were fundamental things that were driven by expediency and a drive by the individuals to get things done within a district. It wasn't the case that they were trying to do the wrong thing, but the financial discipline that really leads to good long-term decision-making in many cases was absent. I think that we saw evidence that you have a finance group, and it was good to see that the role of the CFO within MnDOT had been elevated in stature, but I think that the balance of driving financial integrity in the data had been outweighed by the engineering drive to meet stakeholder interest. But in the long term, that causes problems. I think that what we did see was a program in FIGS that had we got all excited about it, and then realized that. Well, that project, I guess if I had to guess, would be another project that would be derailed. And so I think many of these types of projects are ones where scoping, agreeing, having milestones, and driving to completion is a very important part and something that had been absent and something that needs to be understood is how do you get these projects completed and embedded so that you don't have to restart programs over and over. We talked about another task force that had an effort within MnDOT that had already been started. It was a great piece of work around scoping, cost estimating, and cost management. Now, this is a task force within MnDOT that had been well underway, was getting towards the end of its task forces and getting into the process of implementation, seeing the fruits of their labor. I think we were very impressed with the way that that task force had gone about their work, the conclusions they had come up with. But again, I think it's about the implementation and getting the various stakeholders on board to embrace what this group had done. It's another one that could be very easily derailed and not see the benefits of that task force work if attention to formal change management and training, including, I think, this group, in terms of the systematic way that they had developed for scoping and cost estimating projects. Another area out of this particular grouping was, as I mentioned before, about pilot projects, about how do you look at spurring further innovation in purchasing and contracting and in looking at various pilot projects to test out and manage the risk of implementing innovation. Those are the themes in terms of the recommendations. You can see the detail in the final report. I guess for open it up to any questions. What I would like to reinforce is a request to the legislature here in terms of a view as to, you know, what we would ask you to do. And I think the first is to champion follow-up and action on these key recommendations. Most of the recommendations that we have put forward, not rocket science, many of the things are about programs and efforts already within MnDOT, but I think what we saw as a group is the need to drive follow-up and completion and not have these programs derailed. I think one major area that comes up is in this this area of answering the question of do we have the right allocation structure and organizational structure. I think that's one that the commissioner has is sitting in a great spot, I think, to contemplate, to discuss, to get a group together of a different set of skills than exist in this task force. And answer the question. I don't think the task force is prejudging the answer to that. I think it just needs, it just would like to make sure that that is a question that gets answered.
Mr. Parker?
Yeah.
I believe you may be through yours, and I might be helpful to the committee. You have recommendations, and you also have, you kind of explained the recommendations, but I think you've got some good things on the left-hand side in your column. Maybe we should ask the committee, and we're starting to have questions. And for the remainder of the time, I believe you've probably gone through your report, and maybe we've got some questions that you could answer.
Absolutely. And
specifically, I think you've got some good reason to ask questions on the left-hand side on your recommendations. And Representative Hortman, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to mention to members that the actual report is being copied and will be brought down to you. This is a PowerPoint presentation that the presenters put together for today, but the report itself was not delivered to your areas before this meeting. And I would really ask you to take the time to bring it back to your office or to your home and read it, because this was the task force was put into the transportation bill at the request of the Chamber of Commerce, really to look at that issue of how much efficiency can we get out of MnDOT, how much more can we get done with the money that we've already appropriated. And so I think it responds to a multi-year effort by the Chamber of Commerce to try to squeeze some savings out of the agency. And I know it might sound a little dry in parts, but I think it's really important that members read that entire report and that we, over the course of this session, have some responses and some dialogue with the agency on what came out of the report. So we'll get that report to you as soon as the copies are made.
Representative Beard, do you have a question?
I do. Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is for Mr. Parker, and this is for those of us on the committee that haven't had MBAs, I guess. On page 9, it's labeled 9 on our report. You talked about disruptive approaches.
Yeah.
Most of us would think disruptive would be a negative thing, but you're using it in a positive way here. You talk about what it is that you're trying to disrupt that actually would be beneficial in the way MnDOT does business, Ms. Parker.
Yeah, I guess
Parker.
What was meant by the term, I think you'll find in many businesses, particularly where you have particular technology or particular products, very difficult to make, you know, at some point in time, you know, you have a difficult time improving where it's a very linear type of thinking. And on the other hand, you see big strides being made where somebody steps out of the box and almost looks at it in a disruptive way to the status quo. And that's really what's meant by that is taking not, and you don't do all of that at once. You don't risk your whole business. But usually what you do is by a pilot project or by setting up subgroups. You know, I guess a term that I've always heard is instilling creative tension within an organization where you're trying to come up with a way, a group, a process to shake up that status quo.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you, Mr. Parker. I wanted to be sure we were clear on that as we're trying to be supportive of things that the commissioner might be trying to do inside of MnDOT that might be outside the box of the way we used to do things. Thanks.
Any further questions? Senator.
Yes, thank you.
Senator Dole.
Thank you. What I'd like to know is that this is kind of a slow-moving boat over here, but we've got the stimulus package money going to come flowing in like a rushing river, and all these projects now want to get going right away. Are there some recommendations in here that are, we should focus on that are going to help to kind of get MnDOT steered in the right course to, you know, to help them channel that money in those projects to get the best and most efficient projects completed?
Mr. Parker?
Well, I think we didn't particularly focus the attention of the task force on how to swallow the increased number of projects. That wasn't particularly our focus. I think that there are certainly there was some discussion as that emerged through the timing of the task force where various members probably have their own thoughts about that. I wouldn't say that as a collective group. So I'd leave that for individual people that are here that participated in the task force to offer their suggestions of what emerged. From my point of view, I think that the capacity of MnDOT using its traditional methodologies is going to have a certain capacity to it. There were some comments that using design-build, there was a limit to how much design-build could be done because of restrictions and capabilities within the organization, that it implying that it took more resources to do design-build. Struck me strange in that most private industry would have been doing just the opposite, as that would have been a way that they would have leveraged a certain size organization to do more. I guess I would just go back and make a suggestion to the commissioner to rethink what his organization is telling him by those comments. Is I suspect it has as much to do with gaps in skill sets as anything. And that's perhaps something he could think of as creative ways. He's got very creative people within MnDOT as ways to leverage both the traditional approaches that they have in contracting as well as more creative ways in contracting, but placing focus on inevitably you're having or you know, you'll have gaps in your capabilities. How do you fill those gaps? I don't know if any of the other people on the committee had a comment.
Yes. Mr. Parker, is that a Mr. Gale coming? Okay, that's we're going to call him up. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gale.
Thank you.
Identify
my name
yourself.
Is Jeff Gale. I'm with FPV Power Development for a large constructor of power plants through North America. My part of the committee was, you know, from the outside business committee and that with Clay. And what I'm seeing right now is, as
could
a whole...
Like Mr. Bale, could you speak to the mic, or raise the mic?
There we go.
Thank you.
That right now is, if you look at in construction as a whole right now, is if for engineering, for example, there are more people in sports management right now in the colleges than there are in engineering combined. So you take one discipline and that in engineering. You are going to be, hopefully... getting a large, substantial amount of money here to build projects in the state of Minnesota. You will not find, without a lot of outsourcing, the staff does a tremendous job on what they have, is to going to outsourcing. So you already are behind the curve before you get the money for that. You are going to be, in my opinion, in competition with the other states to get your projects moved forward. It's going to be hard in the process, the way it's set right up now within MnDOT, is how do you champion your projects through the engineering process and proving that you have a good project to the federal government? How do you prove that to them if you don't have the engineering that behind them? So a lot of thought has got to be put into that part of the equation in that. Clay came up, you know, with a lot of good recommendations that and put it into a short narrative in that. But that's one of the areas I really see a concern personally from being out in the industry in that is right now for my engineers that we hire, I'm going to rating schools at the junior level, offering them jobs to come to work for us. MnDOT isn't awarded that opportunity. So the state of Minnesota is competing with me for the college engineering students that you're not going to get. So I just wanted to make that point clear, and you know, it's a good opportunity for the state to build its infrastructure. We've got to keep moving and look at it as a state as a whole, not by district, but as what's good for one part of the state is good for the whole state. Thank you.
Senator, do you get your question answered, Senator Dole? Senator Bonhoff, I'm sorry, I couldn't recall your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I ask my question, because it's on a different subject, that is very interesting, and I think that we do have a challenge to get our young people interested in that. I know I have three kids college age, and none of them are going into engineering, so I'm going to be talking to them. But on a different note for the task force, I'm wondering if you spend any time talking about how MnDOT could be poised to take advantage of public-private partnerships. I know there are businesses in our community that have particular interests in certain projects because it would benefit them and their expansion goals and their MnDOT projects. And I think that we haven't structured our agency over time to be able to take advantage of those opportunities quickly. Was there any talk about that? Is there any talk about having a provision in the way that we respond to project requests to leverage those kinds of dollars?
Senator, I don't know who you, which one should respond. Do you have a specific
Parker.
Person?
Yeah.
So we had a discussion, not specifically on a narrow topic of public-private partnership, but we had a general discussion about innovative contracting styles. How do we leverage the skill sets that have been developed on a specific embodiment of say, design-build, and where that kind of reaches its capacity of what makes sense in that embodiment? How do you take that learning and extend that into other types of contracting styles? One specific area that we talked about was saying design-build gets talked about in terms of a contracting, a legal contract of delivering scope to somebody else. Now, there are also under design-build certain execution methodologies that John Chigala, who works for MnDOT, did a great job of explaining what he felt the key learnings were that gave advantages to design-build firms. So what we did talk about is how do you take those key learnings, bring that back into MnDOT, and repackage it so it's not just about the contractual relationship you have with a third party, but a more sophisticated way of how do you divvy up what scope should stay in MnDOT, what scope should go to a third party private partner, and a more creative way of scope of cutting up the scope based on, I think as John would put it, who's in the best position to hold that risk. I would also add to that who's in the best position to execute competently that piece of work. And I think it's the blend of those two that what we were recommending is that MnDOT have a formal mechanism where it takes and cultivates those kinds of creative ideas, as opposed to the task force coming up and trying to dictate what's the right formula.
Just a follow-up, Mr. Chair. Mr. Parker, I would agree with you. I would also add to that in terms of being able to when looking at funding projects in a time of diminishing resources, that we also have a pretty nimble process for leveraging outside dollars to come in and help support important projects that could grow our economy in Minnesota.
Mr. Parker, Senator, are you Bonhoff? Are you finished?
Yeah.
Senator Salzman.
Well, just to add to that, perhaps, Mr. Chair, is that I think we did have that discussion, and in the time we had, we would have really enjoyed having the presentation on what kind of public private partnerships are out there, but that was not really our call. So I think if you look under Recommendation 3, use of pilot projects may be a useful mechanism for progressing innovation. It wasn't just in how we design projects, but also look at funding, that there needs to be a way for us to be bold and looking at opportunities. And that's, I think, where we look at it's our job as a legislature when these ideas are brought forward to be open to hearing about them. But I do believe that MnDOT is doing some work now. The commissioner has had some presentations with different groups to just explore that. I think we talked about it just the other day. We're going to be hearing some more about it at our next MnDOT orientation session next Wednesday morning, perhaps. So it's really good.
Does anyone want to respond? If not, Senator Day has a question.
Mr. Chairman, and to the legislators, I think especially, it was a wonderful bipartisan group, and I thank Senator Murphy and my leader, Senator St. John, for allowing me to serve on it. And it was a good group of people that really were just trying to put together what would be good for Minnesotans. And there was one thing, and I want to point it out because it we talked about it a lot. It would probably take a lot of talk, but it was in regards to, you know, should there be 8 district offices, or should there maybe just be a couple, or should there be one? You know, should money go 40 million, 40 million, 40 million, whatever, or should it be 300 or 400 million to one spot? How do you build a road? Then would that person have enough to take the highest priority in Minnesota and build a 30-mile road that might cost 80 million? That, as we all know, in our areas, you don't have that, so you do it in increments of 10 million or 8 million or 15 million. And it was so that was a discussion that I really enjoyed because I don't know how that would all work out, but, you know, is there overlapping of engineers and overlapping of a lot of different things? And lastly, I want to say is that I thought was really critical, the staff that put all of us together and did things, they did great. But I also was, I wanted to say that with the commissioner being there, and he came, and he took a serious interest in what we're doing, and he's also here today taking a serious interest in what we're presenting back, which I appreciate, because if you've been around here a long time, you realize sometimes people just tell you to go do things, and when you get all done, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. But I think, you know, just analyze it, and hopefully as a group, especially for us legislators, even more so than anybody, there are some really things that were uncovered that it was very interesting to hear people and Adam and Clay, of course, and Gail, but interesting to have people from all walks of the state and different areas kind of say, you know, really, is that the right way to do it?
Thank you, Senator Day. Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Day. I'm glad to see that you don't think that this is foo-foo dust. But Senator Day is right. I mean, we've given a lot of direction not only to your group, gentlemen, but also to other groups. And the commissioner shows up at all those meetings. And if it's not the commissioner, then it's probably the number one or number two over there. And I really feel that they've come a long way here in the past few months. And we look forward to working with your report and with the commissioner and Bernie Arsenault and trying to figure out how we can do things a little quicker, a little better, and a little more cost-effectively. And I think this lays a good groundwork on how to get there. So thanks for your work.
Thank you, gentlemen. Unless there are questions, I'd like to call either Bernie Arsenault or the commissioner. If you have some respond to some of the criteria that they show, would you care to do that or not? You're not really on the agenda, but seeing you're here, we'd appreciate it.
Did you see him sprint? He sprinted to the bat rack.
Oh, well, Mr. Gale took off in a hurry. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We appreciate the opportunity to say a few words here today. And I think first off, we want to just give some thanks to those folks who have been involved in developing this report. Certainly Charlie Peterson and Jim Rhodes, they did a great job in facilitating this. All of our private sector members who brought a different perspective into the business that we do, and I think that helped us out a lot. The Chamber for the initiative to bring this forward and take a different kind of look at MnDOT. The legislature for their support and their presence at the meetings as well. And really to all the members who spent the time to come and really focus on MnDOT and how we can be a better organization. And a special thanks to Jeannie Crofson, who did a great deal of work with that. So as far as this report goes, we are really we embrace this report. We think that the process that was used to deliver it was a good one. We think that it has some real value to it. What's really nice about it is I think it reflects the new vision that MnDOT has put together, and I think many of you have seen MnDOT's new vision that Commissioner Sorrell has brought forward, and it reflects a servant leadership approach and identifies some very specific objectives that we're trying to or directions that we're trying to achieve. And so when we look at this report, we see that one of the things that we are trying to achieve as an agency to rebuild some trust and confidence is to be transparent with what we do. And I think the process that we went through was a transparent one. There was many guests and folks that were welcome to attend. It was a public process. And what you see in the report itself is that it identifies innovative ways of doing things, different from what we've done in the past. And that is one of our directions, is to pursue innovation in ways that can help us be a more efficient and effective transportation department. It also allows us to be leaders in providing the safest and most efficient transportation system. And again, that is one of the directions that we're trying to move towards. And the way it does it is by the recommendations that came out. And so we are committed to moving in a direction that will address these directions. And not only the three or four specific or highlighted recommendations, but as Representative Hortman discussed, there's a lot of material in this document that I think the department can use as we make decisions in the future and try and serve the transportation community in Minnesota. Just specifically to a couple of the recommendations is as far as the validation of our statewide allocation and regional structure, and I think Senator Day talked a little bit about that as well. We do believe and agree with the task force recommendation that looks to another task force of some sort to come together and review that in detail. This is a big topic, and there's a potential that we can reap some real rewards here, and so the department would like to move in a thoughtful process that will allow us to spend a little more time in dealing with the detail of what are some benefits that we can realize as we look at streamlining some of our processes, and not only in the allocation, but also is there ways regionally or organizationally that we can do that. So we'll be looking at that. We also appreciate the recommendation that we move towards a continuous improvement culture at MnDOT. I think there are pockets of that. I think there are areas that could benefit from a more focused look at that. We were offered as a part or during the committee to welcome some 3M folks that are familiar with the Lean Six Sigma and help us to try and understand how that may help MnDOT in moving towards some of these continuous improvement activities. And so we are welcoming that and have agreed to invite 3M out to help us learn a little bit about that. And then finally, and I think what maybe most of the rest of the report can be included in this idea of embracing and implementing a best practice approach to doing business. The example that got a lot of attention at the task force hearing or meetings was the 35W bridge, and I think that's a great example. But I think there's also other things that we can do as a department when we look to other states, we look to other governments, local government in the state of Minnesota. There's a lot of ways that we can reach out for best practices and begin to implement them. And then just finally, I'd like to just say that some of the things that are reflected in this report are already coming to fruition within the department, and I think the impetus for that is this economic stimulus, is that in order to deliver, if this bill does go through as we're preparing for, in order to deliver on what's going to be coming, we need to do things a little differently because it is a rushing river, as we had as was talked about earlier. There's going to be a lot coming to us, and so we're looking at and implementing innovative project delivery approaches. We are looking at decision making. In fact, the way that illustrative list that you have all seen was not identified through a kind of formula distribution. It was identified from more of a global look across the state. So there are things that we're doing that the task force has kind of helped us to think about, and the stimulus has provided a bit of a kickstart to get that going. So just in closing, I'd like to again just thank all of the players in this effort, and we look forward to pursuing real, sustainable, meaningful change at the Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Arsenault. Senator Murphy has a question.
Mr. Arsenault, if you need anything from the legislature in regards to setting up another working group or need some other members to join in, just let us know. And I don't think we need to pass legislation to do that. I just think that, just ask us, and we're here to help you however we can. And in regards to the stimulus package, I know that from recent discussions with folks in your department that there are a few things that we need to clear the deck of so that you guys can, more quickly react. If you've got a list of objectives to us by the end of the month or so, I'm sure that by, probably, if you get them to us by February 25th, I think that we could probably clear the deck for you by the 26th. How's that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, we appreciate that very much. We do expect to look to not only the existing task force, but also our partners at the legislature to make sure that everybody's comfortable with whatever membership we would have on that task force. So,
if there are no further questions, Senator Scoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Arsenault. I listened with particular interest to what Mr. Gale said with regard to gaps and problems with regard to some of the in-house engineering and stuff. And you're talking about this rushing river that's coming, and we're under pretty significant time constraints on this. Is there any problem in that specific area that Mr. Gale talked about with regard to the stimulus that the legislature might need to look at?
Mr. Arsenault?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, the department has committed a lot of time and effort in getting ready and preparing for the stimulus. I believe that, and we feel confident that we're going to deliver that with the resources and the folks that we have. Our MnDOT employees are a really great group of people that it's almost like our maintenance folks. When you have a real bad storm, you just know that they're going to deliver in clearing those roads. And that's true, I think, across the spectrum of MnDOT employees. And although there are challenges that we face, I think that we're looking to at some of those best practices and at the way other folks are delivering it to do it. So I feel confident that at this point we're in a position to deliver that. And although if there are needs, I think we'll feel comfortable to come to the legislature and see if you can help us or ask you to at least.
Thank you.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify on this point, Senator Scoy and Senator Murphy, we have had communication with MnDOT. It's our understanding that Elizabeth Parker is creating a list of potential statutory actions that may need to be taken for the economic stimulus, and that will be communicated to us in time in order to be able to consider what actions to take and to move. I guess the rushing river is going to be the standing metaphor here in order to ride that river successfully.
Any further questions? If not, thank you, gentlemen, and appreciate it, Mr. Arsenault. Actually, for the members that don't have this summary sheet, you've heard a lot of talk, and it probably wasn't addressed, but there's a lot of meat in this, and if you get a chance to look at it, especially in relation to what Mr. Arsenault was responding to, all of these questions are in there, and there's a lot of it's not critical. It's just whatever you want to call it, a critique, and it's good. And I think it's something you're looking at. So anyone that doesn't have it, didn't have a chance to look at it, there's a lot of questions that you can respond to. And Mr. Parker and Mr. Dunn, thank you very much. If there are any questions from the committee other than that, I'd like to, Mr. Senator Murphy.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, you know, we really appreciate the work that you did here. It's, like I said earlier, it's going to lay the groundwork for a lot of good things to come, and we appreciate it. And we also appreciate the House members coming over to our house. Sorry we were late.
His battery ran out in his watch.
That's a shock.
Yeah.
No, the other thing I'd certainly like to, I was going to, not just because he said this, but that for the senators, I think it's been good to have joint meetings because it eliminates the duplication that we have, and I think we both developed a lot of good out of it. So if there are no further questions, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. And it's your turn to buy lunch next time.